The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost. 50 days have passed since Easter. 10 days since Jesus, still bearing our human nature, ascended into heaven and was crowned with power and glory at the right hand of the Father. Pentecost is the day Jesus kept his promise, pouring out the Holy Spirit on his apostles, equipping them to witness boldly concerning all that he had done for the salvation of the world, and all that he had taught them up to the day that he ascended from them into heaven. Pentecost has been described as the grand opening of the church. On this day, by the working of the Holy Spirit, through the apostles' teaching, and in the gift of holy baptism, about 3,000 souls were added to the company of believers. We hear that before Pentecost, they had numbered in all about 120. But what does this have to do with us today? How do you and I benefit from the gift of the Holy Spirit? Our text returns us once again to the upper room on the night in which our Savior was betrayed. Jesus had departed. The supper was over. Jesus was teaching his disciples. As he worked to prepare them for the time when he would no longer be present among them in the way that he had been for these past 3 years, he spoke to them about the Holy Spirit and what he would do. He said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The frailty and fickleness of human memory is something with which all of us are familiar. Treasured words spoken by a parent or grandparent, the precious early words of a son or daughter, wise words of a beloved teacher, all too quickly these begin to fade from memory. As the years go by, so much is lost. Too soon, all that remains is just a faint impression. But it would not be so for the apostles, for those who followed Jesus. Though they would no longer hear him preaching and teaching day by day, he would provide for them. The Helper, the Holy Spirit sent by the Father in Jesus' name would bring to remembrance everything Jesus had said to them. And not just bring it to remembrance, but teach them. Give them understanding of things that they hadn't understood when Jesus first spoke them. This is important in itself. It is an assurance that the truth Jesus taught was not lost in the months and years that followed his ascension. By the working of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were able to faithfully pass to others what they had first received from Jesus. And that passing on to others comes all the way to us today. Yet even more is involved, for Jesus had just given a tremendous promise to them. Their connection to his word would bring them to God, or perhaps better, would bring God to them. Jesus had said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." To keep Jesus' word, that is, to cling to Jesus' word, to guard it and hold on to it as a precious treasure, results in Jesus and the Father making their home with you. The word home here is the same Greek word Jesus had used just a little earlier that evening when he spoke of many rooms in his Father's house. What Jesus is saying here is that even before he comes back to take believers to the room that he's reserved for them in his Father's house, he and the Father will come to them, to all who love him, who cling to his word in faith, who treasure the precious truth he has revealed. To all of them, he and the Father will come. They will come and make their home with him. They will make their home in each believer's heart. This is a tremendous promise. The disciples' connection to the Lord would be even closer than it had been during Jesus' ministry, but only as they continued to cling to his word. And of course, there lies a problem. Even during his time with them, they hadn't always kept, hadn't always clung to Jesus' word. Think of what happened at Caesarea Philippi. In one moment, Jesus had responded to Peter's confession that he was the Christ, the Son of God. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In the next, Jesus needed to rebuke Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Jesus had told them that they would all abandon him that very night. And Peter and the disciples weren't unique in this. That's the way it's been ever since Adam and Eve turned their back on God's words in the garden. We heard an instance of that in the reading from Genesis this morning. After the flood, the Lord had blessed Noah and his sons. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Teem on the earth and multiply in it." In just a few generations, though, some of their descendants thought they had a better idea. Rather than dispersing to fill the earth, they would stay together, build a city and a great tower, and make a name for themselves. But the Lord frustrated their plans by confusing their language. For their own good, he put an end to their rebellion and opened up the way for them to be blessed in spite of themselves. if humanity's future with God, if the disciples' future with him, had depended on their ability to keep Jesus' word, to treasure everything that he had said to them and cling to it in faith, they wouldn't have had much of a future. But Jesus tells the disciples they won't be on their own. When Jesus had gone to the Father would then send them the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit would work to keep them in Jesus' word. He would bring to remembrance everything Jesus had said to them. He would teach them so that they understood all things. That is, he would keep them in Jesus' word. And kept in Jesus' word, clinging to it and depending on it, both Jesus and the Father would dwell with them, would make their home with them. Not many minutes from now, I'll be asking Tabitha and Jenna whether they intend to hear the word of God faithfully and to live according to it and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. With good intentions, they could answer, "I do." But we all know what happens with good intentions, how often they crash and burn. So they will answer, "I do by the grace of God." For what neither of them can do on their own, what the disciples couldn't do, what you and I cannot do, the Lord can do in us by his Spirit working through his word. And that's exactly what Jesus promised his disciples and all of those who would believe through their word. What Jesus did for his disciples, he does for you and for me as well. You have not been and will not be kept in Jesus' word by your own power, by your own might, but rather only by the Holy Spirit. What the disciples could not do on their own, what you cannot do on your own, the Lord can and does in you by his Spirit working through his word. And that's exactly what Jesus promised his apostles and all those who would believe through their word. In Jesus' promise, with Jesus and the Father making their home with them, and having received the Holy Spirit, the apostles would know peace. Peace that passes all understanding, St. Paul would call it. We see this peace in Peter and John after Pentecost, as they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. We see it as well in Stephen, who, even as he was being stoned, committed his spirit to Jesus and died praying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." This was possible only because Jesus had faced the ruler of this world and beat him. He did as the Father had commanded him. He kept God's word in your place from the moment that he took on human flesh all the way to the cross. He never wavered from his trust and confidence in the Father. Satan had nothing of which he could accuse him. But Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath nonetheless. He endured the wages of sin on the cross. He suffered the punishment of death and hell. He suffered it in full, so that the accusation of Satan no longer had any force. Jesus was obedient for you, and then he paid for your disobedience. Because of Jesus, you have peace with God. Just this morning, he has given you this peace again in the words of absolution which he commanded me to speak to you in his stead. Upon your confession, I forgave you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because of his command, the words that I spoke to you are just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ had dealt with you himself. In just a few moments, Jesus will come to you again in the supper. His true body and blood, the price that he gave for your sins so that they could be forgiven, giving you forgiveness, assuring you of his love for you, and strengthening you to cling to his word. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, planned for your salvation from before the creation of the world. In the person and work of Jesus, God in our human flesh, he worked out your salvation by perfect obedience and innocent suffering. He brought you to faith and is keeping you in the faith by his Holy Spirit working through the word and the sacrament. All of this is clear in God's word and promise. God loves you. He forgives you. He wants you to be with him always. And by his grace in Jesus Christ, you will be. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.